This is part two of me being with Ashley Jones, an ex-witch, and discussing her testimony and her story. So this episode, we're going to be continuing that, but also talking about fear of Satan, fear of the enemy, and also a story of that I received yesterday of deliverance, y'all, and how you can receive deliverance as a Christian and how we need to normalize that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important. And I'm so excited to talk about that because it was so beautiful and it was an amazing, it was just holy.
Wow.
It was holy. It was holy ground. And
it was like, it was,
the Lord prophesied that that was going to happen before it did. So it's just really cool. We'll talk about that. But I think first things we want to dig into is just like, should Christians fear the devil?
Yeah, because I will tell you this, last night, y'all, we were at a friend's house and me and Ashley's like discernment, because we've had the past with the new age and we've had the past with the crystals. So when we see certain objects, we feel the spirit that's attached to it.
Yeah.
And some people who haven't dabbled in that haven't felt it. So if you are hearing this and all this, you're like, oh, I don't feel conviction about this, or I don't see.
Yeah.
If the Bible says we're not supposed to, then listen to the word. But also, I want you to look into things of like, what was it, burning incense and
crystals, and sage, Palo Santo, crystals. It's just all the innocent stuff that we're like, well, I don't use it in that way.
Yeah, it was created. That's the thing. But it wasn't created for just for fun. It was actually, for example, incense is the thing. It was created to clear the aura of spirits. And clear the room.
It's basically, they use it in the new age in the same way that they use sage and Palo Santo to clear the air and the energy in a space. So,
and it's the same way with like a jack-o'-lantern for Halloween. We'll get into that on part three.
Yes.
Because just because you're not meaning to do it.
Yeah.
Like you said, the enemy doesn't have no grace. He doesn't care about.
He doesn't care about your intentions.
Amen. He does not care about the intentions.
Demons don't need bad intentions to enter a door you opened for them.
Period. That's literally so
That's
good.
Facts.
I'm telling y'all, last night, so the enemy, or the Lord convicted us of just a specific thing in a friend's house, and then we went on a clear sweep and started clearing of all, anything we prayed over, and this is on Christ-like friendships that we will get into another episode with Allie, because this weekend has been insane. It's been amazing. Y'all are my family, my people, of going through this whole house and clearing anything that the Lord convicts us of, that's demonic attachment, and I'm going to peep in a picture, if you guys are watching, of everything that we gathered. In a strong believer's home.
Yeah, on fire for the Lord. And it didn't look like a lot when it was like spread throughout our house.
Yeah.
But when we put it all together, it's like you literally could have had an Etsy shop for witchcraft.
Yeah.
It looked crazy.
It was giving shrine.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, one, and then we went around and anointed the household in Jesus' name. And you need to be anointed. That's in scripture. You need to anoint your home, anoint your head with oil. But anyways. Yeah. I begin to feel the spirit of fear come over me, the spirit of fear of the enemy specifically, because and another, I mean, we were just discussing all these things that were happening. And although one friend might not be scared and they were telling a story, I begin to get scared about it. So I think some people, and I know this.
Yeah.
The Lord's told me this. I feel it now. Are going to hear your story, Ashley, and they're actually going to get scared. Mm-hmm. But we're going to bind it now in Jesus' name. We're going to rebuke it in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for a sound mind, Lord, that anyone who's under the sound of my voice that is going to hear her story, Lord, will not fear the enemy, Lord, but see, Lord, the victory in you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, they see how powerful you are in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, that they wouldn't look at the enemy, Lord, and even tremble. Lord, that the only thing they tremble with is your word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God, I pray that over their heart, settle any anxiety, any fear, Lord, that they have. Lord, cast it out in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would just speak through her story, speak through us, Lord, in a humble manner in Jesus' name, Lord. This is the secret place. This is a place that is sacred. God, you are here. You are tangible, Lord. We feel you in Jesus' name, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think that the only thing that we need to be afraid of in a healthy fear is fear of the Lord. We need to have a fear of the Lord. And when we begin to fear Satan, it's honestly sometimes because we have a lack of fear of the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
and understanding too, because you wouldn't fear Satan if you understand.
If you understood, you wouldn't be scared.
Come on.
So let's break it down.
Yeah. Honestly, we're going to get to the word. Because as we always say about Ashley, is she is a woman of word. And you guys will see in these episodes, she's always going to the word and going to scripture because that's the sword. In the armor of Christ, the sword is the only offense.
Yeah, the only offensive weapon that we have to use against the enemy is the word of God. And see Jesus exercising that in Matthew. We see him saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, depart from me.
Yep. Come on.
He didn't give any words of his own. He said, this is what the word of God says. I stand on that authority. Depart from me.
Yep. In Jesus' name.
And who do we think we are? Are we better than the Messiah? Like our words are going to be more potent than the sword of the spirit that he used?
Yeah.
That's pride.
Right.
You know?
Come on. Y'all, I think what you were saying is honestly lack of understanding of who Jesus is what leads to fear in the enemy.
Yeah.
Because if you would understand this word in Luke 10, where is it at? Luke 10, 19 says, look, this is Jesus. This is red letters. Yes. The Lord speaking. Like the fact that this is Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe speaking to us, we have to incline our ear. This is crazy. This is living. This is what's the breath. This is what's the life.
Yeah.
Luke 10, let's go to 17. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Amen. Even the demons, that's crazy. And this is what Jesus said. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from the heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven.
Yes. That's so profound and so deep. There's layers to what you just said. I want to break it down real quick. My husband was reading commentary to us on this verse just a little bit ago, and it says, look, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Like Jesus is literally saying, look, friend, I watched him fall from heaven, and you think that you don't have the authority to cast him off the earth? Like to cast him out of your presence, to cast him out of your home. I watched him fall from heaven. You have the authority.
Yeah.
He says, but be careful not to be prideful. It is not in your own strength that you do any of this. Do not rejoice that you can rebuke demons, cast out demons, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life.
Yeah, that's good. And I believe many people are getting caught up in the gift and not getting caught up in the one who's giving the gifts. Because in this, he says, don't rejoice because you can cast them out. Because even believers, like, I don't necessarily... I don't know, like they're casting him out, but they are wanting it to glorify themselves
100%
more than the Lord. And it says at the end of the day, our eyes are fixed on heaven. And this is a word from the Lord, because why are we giving?
Not that you touch in scripture like it burns.
Honestly.
Like, you were like,
because no, this is the thing. He says, don't rejoice because demons listen to you, because that's so beneath us. But rejoice because our names are registered in heaven, because we are seated in heavenly places.
Above. Why? Keep your eyes on things above.
Exactly. Like, why are we even? He's like, don't rejoice. It's honestly like, that's embarrassing to rejoice about that, because it's like so beneath us.
Like, what more important things are there, you know? That's so good. And honestly, a moment of confession too. I've told Allie this. When I first started TikTok, this was only 4 months ago. Okay. I've only been doing TikTok for 4 months. But when I first started TikTok, I had in my bio Demon Slayer.
Oh, wow.
And the Lord convicted me and I had to take it out of my bio. I'm like, wait, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And there's actually nothing special about me that I get to, you know, operate in deliverance because the word of God says that deliverance is the children's bread. Yeah. The word of God says that these things will follow my children. They will cast out demons. There's not anything special about me.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's
so good. He convicted me and I had to remove that.
And we're going to get into that scripture towards the end of this, y'all. I digress. We always going off about the Lord. That's the thing with us. Literally this whole weekend, we've been in the spirit for
24/7. We went to bed at 4 a.m. last night.
I was not even tired. I did not want to sleep.
Because we've just been in the spirit the whole
time. Jiving with the spirit. That's the thing. I know. All right. I know y'all are on the edge of y'all seat. So we're going to continue your story.
Here we go again. Just getting in the spirit. All right.
Yeah.
Move along.
I think where were we even at with the story?
So
that's the spirit. He'll show you.
I hate to like leave y'all hanging in that way. Yeah. We really did it to you. But we were talking about just...
Low-key, I feel this again from the Lord. The reason that you couldn't release is because we needed to release. I knew that the Lord wanted to prepare their hearts before they could hear like things, because it could feel like scary to them in a way.
That's good, yeah.
And God is so intentional in that. And that's why he wanted us to speak that of his authority, because demons mean nothing. Yeah. They have no power.
Yeah.
But if we would have went into that episode at the beginning and like started sharing that, then the enemy would have had a foothold of our brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Yeah. God's and there's no fear. The Bible says in, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7. Correct me if I'm wrong, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm not above reproof.
Yeah.
Second Timothy 1:7, I think. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
In Jesus' name.
You know, so I think it's important to know that. And I want to go off on that just a second, and then I'm going to get into my story. But if we knew, Romans 8:11 talks about the power that is living inside of us as children of the Lord.
Yeah.
As the resurrected Son of God sent his spirit down onto us, it gave us power.
Yeah.
Through him, not our own, but it gave us power. And I think if we even slightly understood or could comprehend what that meant, we would have no fear.
Yeah, no fear.
The Bible says that we have been given authority to trample over scorpions and serpents. Mm. The Bible says, we just read it in Luke, the 72 returned to him and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.
Mm. Yeah.
I think if we understood that the name of Jesus, it says in the Bible that we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony, which is why I'm so thankful to be talking about it. And I love when the Lord gives me the opportunity to share, because we overcome by it.
Yeah.
We overcome by the blood. We overcome by his name. There is power in these things, and it makes the devil shrivel up.
Yeah, like a raisin.
Do y'all even understand that he is soft?
Yeah.
Seriously. And I'm not trying to downplay Satan, because I promise you, if like anybody can understand the power of the devil, it is me. But I'm not going to give him any glory.
Yeah.
He is soft as cotton. Okay. Mm. And we literally operate in the spirit with the sword.
Yeah.
We operate in the spirit with prayer.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. Prayer can literally bind these things to the pit of hell and wait for judgment.
It's the lack of understanding.
If we even knew, we would have no fear.
I just want to rebuke the spirit of like lack of understanding and in the spirit of unbelief in Jesus' name, because in the scripture,
double-mindedness is what it is.
Yes, like you're saying, we have been given a spirit of a sound mind, not of fear.
Yeah.
So whenever you have a double mind, you have fear.
Yeah,
that's so good. And in the scripture, whenever the man brings his son to get delivered, he's demon possessed, you know, running into fire and all this crazy stuff.
I think that's in Mark 5.
Mark 5. And find that scripture if you can.
Yeah.
And he says, God, forgive me for my unbelief.
That's so good.
He said, if you only had the faith.
That's one of my favorite lines in the Bible.
But it's the way that when he confesses that he's not believing, has the unbelief, the Lord delivers him.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't have the faith and we don't feel the Lord. And with the circumstances around us, it doesn't make sense. But by admitting it to God, that's where deliverance takes place.
Yeah. So it's in Mark 9, not Mark 5. Mark 5 is another deliverance story that's amazing. But in Mark 9, I'm just going to read this story really quick, because I think it is so amazing to hear that he had a lack of faith in the authority of Jesus, that this demon could really be casted out, that he didn't have to sit in defeat, you know? So I want to read this real quick. So this is in Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14, and it says, and when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, oh, you faithless generation, how long am I to be with you?
Wow.
How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.
Mm.
And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy.
Wow.
He fell on the ground, rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often cast him into fire and into water to try and destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
Yeah.
And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out, convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting.
Y'all do know that end of the scripture, that when Jesus says that this kind can only be driven out through prayer and fasting is missing. I know for sure in the NIV.
It's missing in mine. I wrote in and fasting.
So you have the ESV.
It has that missing. In the New King James, it adds, it has the prayer and fasting.
There's a reason that man has taken that out of the word, because at the end of the day, like with the versions and stuff, it's still like man,
it's
like
important.
Had to tweak that those things. So it's just like the enemy's still gonna like reach on that.
Yeah.
So it's just like, if it's really getting taken out, that's showing that the enemy does not want it in it.
It's important.
Everything that the Lord has written in his word
yes.
is so important.
Yeah.
You can't just have a little piece of the word. You can't just have one thing and then take it. No, because you have to
test.
You got to
have the fullness of
you
scripture.
You have to have the fullness. If you're missing one verse, if you miss that one verse, I believe you would have missed the whole entire thing.
Yeah, and I do believe that we have been given a translation that is truly, and this is just like my opinion. If y'all have a different one, sound off.
Yeah.
But I truly do believe that the Lord has given us a translation that is historically, biblically accurate.
I agree, yeah.
I do believe it's the King James. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people will hate to hear that, and it's hard to read. I love ESV. The reason I use ESV is because it's really great for comprehension, but it still has a lot of historical biblical accuracy from the original translation. Mm-hmm. You have NLT?
I have NLT.
That's great for comprehension. Yeah. My husband uses New King James. Mm-hmm. It's more historically accurate, but y'all, it's important to dig into scripture and not just like
go
read it.
To different
and
versions is important.
You gotta, yeah.
Because you would have missed
why.
That, yeah,
this is why.
If you didn't go... And I believe too, yeah, just with that, it's important to go to different versions, because with me, like I used to say, the version doesn't matter, but it actually does. All of us here in this group have different versions of the Bible. So instead of us thinking that one version is right, we're actually going and seeing what each version says, because we know that the Lord has given us every version.
That is great. And I think that you really need to understand that studying is more than just simply reading over it. It's digging. It is looking at different translations. It is looking into commentaries, study notes, you know, original manuscripts, digging. That's, you know, so that's an amazing point.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, I mean, it's important. So I think that where we left off last episode with my story was really like the pinnacle of it all, in the depth of it all, which is why we wanted to talk about we should not be fearful of the Lord.
Right.
I mean, fearful. We should be fearful of the Lord.
Yeah.
Fearful of the enemy at all. Because not one part of my story should instill fear in anybody.
Right.
By the blood of the Lamb, I have overcome.
Come on.
And I have been set free. I have been redeemed and I have been delivered.
Yeah, you have.
And it is not and shouldn't be in the ears, eyes, or minds or hearts of anybody listening. Something that should scare you, but something that should encourage you.
Yeah.
You know, so anyways, we were at the pinnacle of it. We were talking about how, you know, I had come into this horrible porn addiction. I had it for 7 years total. And I was drinking I was drinking so much. I was drinking every day to the point where I was not getting drunk. I would have a bottle of wine to myself and it would do nothing to me.
Wow.
And so it wasn't about getting drunk for me at all. I don't know why I felt like I needed it to process or not to process. I don't want to say that because I actually wasn't processing much at all, but I was just numbing.
Yeah.
You know, I was just trying
to
like, trying to like keep normalcy when nothing about my life was normal at that moment. And you know, I was doing drugs. I was partying. I was living, at the pinnacle of it. I know we talked a little bit about, you know, the abusive relationship that I was in for 7 years in the previous episode. What I didn't update you guys on that one was that we ended up breaking up by the grace of God. We were together for, like I said, for 7 years.
Yeah.
And about a month after we broke up, I was in such a darkness. I was like legit struggling. This is when I was talking to you guys about, you know, like suicidal ideation and just like, I actually remember this moment so specifically at this pinnacle of it all. I prayed. I remember praying. And that was not something I ever did.
Wow.
But I prayed to God. And I didn't even know who God was. I didn't know big G, little G. I don't even know who I was talking to, you know? But I just said, I don't want to wake up anymore.
Wow.
And I was just like, can you please not let me wake up anymore? Mm. Because it was so much more painful to be awake than it was to just be sleeping. Mm. And
in the midst of this, it's because if people haven't seen the first episode, you were getting tormented by demonic yes. spirits. You were doing blood rituals. You were.
Yes. I was being tormented.
Tormented.
I was having panic attacks every night. Mm. I had crippling anxiety to where I couldn't eat for days. Wow. Like, I was depressed. It was like literally rock bottom. Mm. And, you know, I don't believe that everybody's got to get there to find Jesus. Mm. I really don't. Mm. I don't believe that at all. My husband was saved when he was 4 and he wow. remembers the moment that it happened. Like, it was yesterday. Come and on. He's been a changed man since he was innocent at 4, yeah. obviously, but.
And he loves
the Lord. He's walked with the Lord his whole life. Like, can I just take a second to boast on my husband honestly. And the goodness of God? It's like, he was a virgin when we got married. Wow, he yeah. never had been drunk, never smoked weed, never smoked a cigarette. Like, he just like walked with the Lord. So I don't believe that everyone has to have this testimony. Yeah. And you know what? I actually pray that my kids have my husband's testimony wow. and not mine.
Yeah. And that's honestly a testimony for any girls listening of trying to settle for a man. There are men of God out there.
There are.
That are pursuing the Lord. There are men of God out there who are pursuing celibacy. And who,
there are.
Even if for some reason they didn't wait till marriage, they're actually restarting over.
Yes.
They're restarting rededicating. Over. Rededicating it to the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't settle. And the Lord's teaching me this right now in my life of being in a relationship. Don't settle.
No.
It's not worth it. I mean, what are you going to settle on? It's just like when you're waiting for your food, like at a restaurant, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like they bring out the appetizer, but the appetizer is not the main meal. You're not going to mm-hmm. eat the bread rolls and say, all right, that's a word from the Lord. All right. See y'all. Thank off. You. Thank you for the bread. See you. No, yeah. I'm waiting for my steak.
You're
I'm waiting for my potatoes because yeah. I know that's what's I came there.
Yeah.
I came to the restaurant to do one thing, and that was to have steak and potatoes because that is what was going to fill me. God has given us relationships. And this is going to have to be another episode.
Yeah,
relationships. To fill us in the Lord fills us in every aspect, but to fill us in ways of encouragement.
Yeah.
So a lot of us, when we are around worldly people and we're just settling for the bread when the Lord is trying to give you the full meal.
Yeah. That's wow. so good. He's like, wait for the fullness, wait for the goodness.
Yeah.
Wait for the steak and potatoes, y'all. Yeah.
Come
okay.
on. Come on.
Seriously. That's so good. That's so good. So I just wanted to take a minute yeah. for him. A little love shout him. Out to come AJ. On,
we love him.
So anyway, I was it was just so dark, y'all. It was so dark. And at that point, I just, that's why I brought up the relationship.
Yeah.
Here in the secret place, y'all, we keep it real. I was on another train. We're yeah. back on track. I brought up the relationship because during this time where I was like at the height, at the pinnacle, I was in a completely different relationship living with this guy. And I had been with him for at that point, probably like 4 years. Like, I had never been alone in my whole adult life. I got with my first boyfriend when I was 13. Mm. I had never been alone in my whole adult life. The whole month between those two relationships, I was just like sulking, wow. like just like dead inside, literally. And the Bible says that. And I experienced it. But yeah, I mean, I was having sex and addicted to porn and drinking and witchcraft to no end and just misery. And I started to experience some really dark things, some really, really, really dark things. I know we touched on sleep paralysis in the last episode, and I continued to have it. I continued to have it. I would wake up and see things in my room. I would wake up from hearing sounds that weren't really there. I would wake up, and a lot of times, and I want to touch on this really quick too, I would wake up at 3 a.m. Mm. And I know that I'm not the only person that you or anybody listening has. Yeah, I'm not the only person you've heard say that.
Yeah.
That's pretty typical.
Yeah.
Because it's typical of the demonic.
Y'all, before to do that. We started this podcast, I don't even know if I've told y'all or not, but I'm just going to reiterate it again. Before, I began to have low blood sugars at 3 a.m. at night.
Mm.
And then in the deliverance last night, that again, we're going to get into.
Yeah.
Just be patient. We digress.
Yeah.
In the secret place, we just got to keep it a buck. We're going to be real with you. Mm-hmm. And we're talking to you because you are our friends. You are our siblings. So if yeah. you don't like us going crazy and letting the spirit.
Going crazy in the spirit.
Yeah. The thing is, a lot of podcasts have structure, but they're not allowing the spirit to flow.
Yeah. Like, can the Holy Spirit interrupt you?
And he, yeah, it's a holy yeah. interruption.
Yeah.
And that's holy, right? That's what the secret place is. When he yeah. interrupts us, we have to be willing for the Lord to yes. interrupt us. But yeah. It's just before the Lord was doing something amazing in my life, I was waking up at 3 a.m. and I'll touch on that later. So just hold tight.
Yeah, y'all. This deliverance testimony is crazy. Wow. Like, crew got deliverance 2 nights in a row. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was experiencing some dark things. The sleep paralysis continued. I remember one day where I was doing transcendental meditation. And I was sitting on my couch. I was in a yoga pose. I was listening to meditation chakra aligning music on my TV. I was setting the stage. I had my crystals around. I was burning sage. I had the whole thing set up, which is a, something that, you know, it was really just a ritual, but it was something that I did every day to get to the next level, to enter my highest consciousness, my Christ consciousness, as they call it, open my third eye, be more enlightened, to finally arrive. The whole time I was trying to arrive to this place that is so non-existent. You don't ever get there. But the New Age tells you if you just keep going deeper, just one more level, one more awakening, one more chakra alignment, one more whatever, then you'll get there, and you never get there.
Right.
You will never get there. And I was sitting on the couch. I was in a yoga pose. I was doing the whole thing. And I remember my eyes were closed. And I actually remember trying to pray. And this is how you know that without relationship, you are so distant from God. Like, it is just, I remember trying to pray and being just like talking to God. I said, and you know, I was like, God, the universe, whoever, just because I just didn't know. And I remember I was praying, and I don't remember what I was praying about, but I remember specifically that detail that I was trying to connect with whoever was out there, but still holding myself to his position. You know, I was trying to be who I was trying to connect with.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And so I had my eyes closed, and I started to be able to see in the spirit and physical, like if the two worlds collided and you can see it in front of you. Wow. That's what I was seeing, but my eyes were closed.
What did that look like?
So when I was looking at my living room, I could see everything around me just as it was if I were to open my eyes. I was seeing it all. Again, my eyes were closed. I started to see my office door, and I can literally remember it in my mind. My office, so I'm sitting here, my TV's in front of me, and then there's a hallway to the right of me, and I can see at the beginning of the hallway the door that went into my office. And with my eyes closed, I see the office door start to open. And to this day, I actually don't know if that happened in the physical or in the spirit. And I talked about that in the last episode. Like, I was so, the veil was so thin at that point in my life. I don't know what was real and what was in the spirit. I really don't. But I saw the door open out of my closet, and this tall, like lanky, every time I talk about it, it's like, it's lanky, it's bony, it's skinny, it's like malnourished. It's like dark, this dark, tall figure walks out from my office in front of me, right in front of the TV, and then just like straight line to me. And in this house, I had cathedral ceilings, and so they were like 20 something feet high. They were really tall, and this thing was probably 15 feet tall, like massive. And I remember it stood right in front of me at the couch, and y'all are probably like, why didn't you get up? Y'all, I couldn't get up. I couldn't move. I was stuck. I was in paralysis, except for I wasn't asleep. I was transcending. And I couldn't move. And it came right in front of the couch, stood right in front of me. And this is the part that really freaked me out. With its legs completely straight, it bent at the hip like 90 degrees and had its face right in front of me. Eyes are like bulging out and just like tilts its head and like just stares at me. And I can't do anything. And like in my spirit, I'm like screaming. I'm trying to move. I'm trying to run. I'm trying to do everything I can. And it's silent, which was so scary, because anything that I had experienced previously, like I talked about in the last episode, I would have a sleep paralysis experience where I heard a bunch of laughter and it was just so loud and consuming. This was silent. And I was trying to scream. I was trying to hit. I was trying to run anything I could, nothing. And I remember, I don't actually know how long I was stuck in that, but it felt like hours. But I remember it breaking off of me somehow, some way. I don't know how. And I like fell off the couch into the floor because of how hard I was trying to get out of my body. I was like, every cell in my body was trying to get out. And it was literally like my soul wanted to come out of my body and leave. And I fell on the floor. I ran out and I said, I can never do this again. My house is haunted. I'm never coming back. Like, I thought my house was the issue, y'all. I said, my house is haunted. No, girl, I was haunted.
You were the one calling him in.
I was I was conjuring up these demons in my own mind, in my own home, in every area. And it started to affect the people around me. My roommate saw a demon in her room at 3 a.m. one night. And I had to run in there as she called me and said, someone's in my room. I go in there. Obviously, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Like it was affecting everyone around me. Wow. It was so heavy. It was so thick. And so I remember calling my friend Alexa, who I had just met maybe a couple months ago, and she was a very devout Christian. She still is. God. She's still my best friend. And I called her and I said, listen, my house is haunted. I'm coming to stay. And she was like, I'm coming over. And I said, no, girl, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back in there.
Right.
And I told her what happened with the couch and the demon. She's on business. She's standing on business.
I love it.
And my roommate, who was also a Christian at the time, which a lot of people ask me, they're like, why was your roommate Christian and staying around you? And my answer to that is, praise God she did, because it meant my life.
Wow.
And the Lord knew. Amen. And she knew the Lord. So, but they got together. They brought me in the house and they set me down and looked at me. And this conversation really saved my life. Wow. Like, I needed this. And I was a non-believer. You know, I didn't have any relationship, but they set me down and they looked at me. And they pointed to this chest drawer that I had in the living room. If y'all are not from the South, we're Southern people, okay? Virginia and Kentucky.
With a little ghetto in the back.
A little ghetto in the back. There was this little chest of drawers. I think y'all call it up north.
Okay.
Whatever. It's like a little display case. They pointed at it and they said, look at all that stuff. It was tarot cards. Wow. It was sage Palo Santo. It was... like Ouija board paraphernalia. It was like just all kinds of demonic portals. Wow. Just portals.
Wow.
Palm reading stuff. All kinds of stuff.
And if people don't think, because we were just touching on that about a friend who had these demonic entities, things, I don't know if it's entities, items in their home, was actually being tormented at night with certain things and certain nightmares.
Yes.
And they're a very devout Christian. So
yes, the Bible addresses this. You will not fear the terror by night.
Come on. Come on.
Because the devil is darkness.
And what's the scripture of saying? Like, you should have no relation with wicked or what? I know you always
say that. Are you talking about, it says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it.
Yeah, there's that one. But there's another one. But it's something about having nothing to do with like the darkness. We'll have to figure it out.
We were talking about this, y'all, last night. It says, do not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. For what relation does righteousness have with unrighteousness?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what translation that is, but your translation was saying, like, you can't partner with darkness.
Yeah.
You cannot be in the light and partner with the
darkness.
Demons
don't care about the intention.
They don't care about your intention.
And I just wanted to touch on that, because even if you are a Christian and you're saying it's not for the intention, the demons do not care about the intention.
No, they don't.
Just because you're not doing it to worship the enemy or whatever that is, they literally do not care. It's a portal being opened. And if you don't believe us, honestly, we did our part. We're trying to warn you. So if you don't believe us, that's on you. We planted the seed. So you can just take that up with the Father. We're living. Yeah. We're here. We're just trying to please our Father.
Yes.
And again, I know a lot of these things. Honestly, if it offends you, then you need to go check yourself.
But check the word, because Paul says in the New Testament, a holy rebuke is oil for my head. It's good to be called out in your sin. It's good. It's holy. It's righteous. And it is sanctifying.
And I think in the rebuke, if you're getting defensive and you have the spirit of offense, that's not of the Lord.
Yeah. The Bible says take off offense.
Wow. It's not you getting offended. It's whatever oppression that you have on you and you need deliverance. And that's what I had to get. And we'll get to that.
True. That's good. Yeah. That's a word. So they came rolling up in my house in the spirit. They had oil, they had Bibles, they had it all. They were strapped up in the spirit. And they looked at me and they said, all of this is your problem.
Wow.
You are bringing this oppression into your life, into our lives, into your home, into your family. It is you. You are the one causing these things, because you are opening doors and allowing Satan to come in.
Yeah.
And you see what it's doing to your life, but you're completely naive to what's happening and why it's happening. So let's just call it out. It's this. Get rid of it.
Wow.
And I said, what? And in my mind, I'm like, Alexa, this is a rock. This is just a rock. Alexa, this is a piece of paper. It's a card. Okay. It's not.
Yeah.
I even in my own mind was like, it's not real. But then I lived my life worshiping it.
Right.
because I was under oppression.
Wow.
But like in my mind, I was like, y'all, this is stupid. Mm. Which, by the way, if you're thinking that, let me just expose that. That is a lie. Yeah. All of it is real. Mm-hmm. Demonic power is real. Manifestation mm-hmm. is real. Tarot readings are real. Yeah. Crystals are real. All of this is real. Mm-hmm. The devil literally can only give counterfeits, though.
Yeah.
You're looking for love, joy, peace. That's the top three fruits of the spirit.
Right.
You're looking for all these things and all these supplemental items, and you're not going to find it because it's temporary and it comes with oppression. Come on. And so I was doing that, and they said, get it out. So I said, whatever y'all say, I'm done. Mm. And I was scared to walk back into my house. Okay, let's talk about fear of the enemy and fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
I was scared to walk back into my house, and they marched into my house with authority. That's fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's fear of the Lord. And I had fear of the enemy. And look at the difference, you know?
Wow.
I was walking in intimidation, and they were walking in authority.
Mm. That's the thing.
Y'all, we can't be scared of the enemy.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I think I'm bad.
Mm.
They're walking in something I ain't never seen.
Right.
And they walked into my house. They started praying over me. They started praying things that I didn't really understand, obviously, because I wasn't in that realm yet. But they prayed so specifically over me. It was like borderline prophetic, like stuff they shouldn't have known, but it was their discernment. Like the Lord was saying, this is what you need to know. It was discerning of the spirits, which is in the Bible as a gift. But then they started praying over my home. Wow. They started walking the perimeter of my home. They went in every single room, every closet, every door, every window. Mm. They anointed, they pleaded the blood. They cast it out, bind and cast it out in the name of Jesus. Mm. And I said, I think I'm bad. I don't know nothing.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know nothing. Like what in the world is that?
Mm.
I said, whatever that is, that's more powerful than whatever I got going on.
Come on.
I saw the power of the Lord.
Come on.
Because after that day, I didn't experience that stuff anymore.
Wow.
I didn't experience seeing these demonic beings. I didn't experience sleep paralysis. I didn't experience those like heavy yokes.
Mm.
Now, did I still experience oppression? Yes, because I wasn't saved yet.
Right.
But I didn't experience those heavy yokes anymore.
Wow.
They had to listen to them. They had to.
There we go.
And so I just remember, like, you know, I still was experiencing oppression, and I just thought, like, I've done everything. Like, I've tried everything, and nothing is working. Nothing's working. I'm at the end of myself. I'm so sick. I was sick. I was, by the way, y'all, I'm 5'7", 5'8", so I'm not really that short. I mean, I'm a normal height, kind of tall. I was, like, 106 pounds.
Oh, wow.
I was sick. I was couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. I was so depressed, so anxious, panicking every day, completely oppressed. And I remember I said, I'm going to call Alexa. And I was in my car and I call her. I'm actually missing a part of the story, and this is really cool. This is one of those moments where I don't know if it was spiritual and I saw it in the spirit or if it really happened in real life. And I got to be honest about that because I've told my testimony a lot. And typically I'll just say, and I saw this, but the Lord like kind of made me question that. And I'm like, wait, did I really physically in the physical see it? Or was that like a spiritual sign from God?
Right.
I'm not really sure. Okay. So I need to preface that. But this did happen and I did see it somewhere.
Yeah.
I was driving in my car and I was like, God, if you're real, where are you at? Hmm. Because this is hell on earth. If you're real, why is this happening to me? Hmm. If you're real, show up. I was like borderline like, I dare you. Do something.
Yeah.
You know, like I was mad at him. I was mad at him. And y'all, like, this is only part of my testimony, okay? Like, there's a whole other part of my testimony where my sister was addicted to heroin. My family was splitting up. Like, I was in and out of drug houses with guns going to drag my sister's lifeless body out to, you know, save her life. Like, I was going through so much at that time that I was like, you are not a good God.
Mm.
Where are you at? And it was in that moment, I remember driving. There was this truck that had a trailer on the back of it and it pulled out right in front of me. And I remember slamming on my brakes because I was literally about to hit this truck. And what was on the back of the trailer was like a 15-foot wooden cross on the back of the trailer. And I said, I'll never ask again.
Wow.
I'll never ask again. Mm. Oh my gosh, like that is the Lord. Like he's so good. Yeah. He's so good to answer. And the fact of the matter is, as I said, I am mad at you. You are not good. You have not been here. Mm. You are not here for me. You don't love me, you know? But he said, let me show you my goodness.
Yeah.
Hmm. And I remember just being like, just, I was sobbing because I was like, but I'm so confused. I'm so confused. And so I went back to my house and I called Alexa, and this moment changed my life forever. I'm like, I'll already cry about it. Yeah. I will cry about it every time I tell it. Mm-hmm. And I've prayed. I'm like, Lord, don't ever let me not feel this way.
Amen.
But I call Alexa and I said, I need to talk to you about something. And she knew I was upset. Obviously, I'd been crying. And she was like, what's going on? And I said, I need to talk to you about someone. Mm. And she goes, okay, who? And I said, Jesus. Mm. And it was the first time that I'd ever said his name out loud. Like, that's the oppression that I was under.
Wow.
For my whole adult life, I never even said his name.
Mm.
And we're so quick to be like, oh, God this, God that. What about Jesus? Because yeah. without Jesus, none of it matters.
Yeah.
Without Jesus, the cross didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was the first time that I ever even said his name.
Mm.
And I remember her being, looking back now, she had been praying for me for like probably a year at that point.
Yeah.
Just on her face in the spirit praying for me. So like looking back now, she was probably so lit up in this moment, but she played it so cool. And she was like, okay, well, what's up? Mm. But her spirit was probably like,
oh, jumping for joy. Wow.
Yeah. And I just said, I don't know. I need to know about Jesus. And I just, the name of Jesus, I just started weeping.
Wow.
Like saying his name broke chains off of me. Amen. Like completely broke them off of me in a second, just saying the name of Jesus. And I just was sobbing. And I literally was crying so hard I had to mute the phone. Because it's like ugly Kim K, like snot crying. Bad.
No, I feel
dude, I was wrecked.
Yeah.
Okay. I was being encountered.
Wow.
And she goes, hey, can I pray for you? And you know, because I had always done the church games, y'all. Like I had always done like, oh, I'm gonna pray for you. And you're like, okay. And you're like, you don't really think they ever will.
Mm-hmm.
But she, so I was like, okay, yeah, thanks, Alexa. And I was gonna get off the phone. And she was like, no, right now.
Wow.
No one had ever prayed for me before. Mm. I had never experienced that in my life.
Wow.
And a part of me was like, why do y'all Christians got to be so weird? You know, like, we just are. Let me get off the phone. And yeah. But we are. And we're going to do it.
The weirdness is because we know.
Like, it's a boldness.
Yeah. The weirdness is because we understand.
It's a boldness. And people in the world, I was in the world, think that boldness is weirdness.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, we don't care what you think. We care what the Father thinks. And we're going to be obedient to him. And that's what she did in that moment. And she started praying stuff, man, that was prophetic.
Wow.
She started praying over my porn addiction, which I had never told one person about ever. I had never said that to anybody. Mm. I felt so much shame around that, by the way. And I just feel led right now to say, if there is any girl watching this who has struggled with this, who has struggled with a spirit of lust and perversion, I promise you are not alone. Statistically, over 50% of women have a porn addiction. And I think we talked about that the last episode, but you're so not alone. And I've been where you are, and I feel the hurt that you feel, and I feel the dirtiness and the nastiness. The way that the spirit of lust and perversion makes you feel is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a disgusting spirit. But there's no shame. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This doesn't make you not a Christian.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about how God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. And with every temptation, he will provide you a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it.
Come on.
That is what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. And I just want you to know that the Lord has not left you, nor has he forsaken you. That's what the word says.
Mm.
Like, he's just giving y'all Bible right now.
That's
it's like, listen to him when he speaks. Yeah. You're not alone, okay?
Come on.
But she was praying that over me, and I didn't tell her. Mm. And so I just started crying because I said, I know he's real. He's real, because she couldn't have known. She was praying over so many things, my relationship, just so many things. And I'm just undone. Mm. I'm just undone at the feet of Alexa and at the feet of Jesus. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know what I was about to encounter. Alexa said, I don't know that. Alexa, never mind. I just didn't know. But she stopped praying, and I was like, thank you. Like, thank you so much. Mm. That was great. And she goes, hey, I want you to do me a favor.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, what is it? Because at this point, I've seen enough. Alexa knows so much more than I do.
Mm.
Alexa is so much more bad than I am.
Mm.
Whatever she says, I'm going to be like, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. She said, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go inside, because I was sitting in my driveway, the boyfriend that I had at the time was still at work. I was alone. She said, I want you to go inside and I want you to pray yourself, but I want you to pray out loud. I want you to pray out loud so that every single thing that's in the spirit can hear you. And I said, why do y'all Christians got to be so weird?
Right.
And I was really uncomfortable. That was so uncomfortable for me. Mm-hmm. I was so uncomfortable to even think about doing that. But I trusted her because I saw the fruit in her life.
Wow.
And I went inside. I got off the phone with her. And I went inside and I, for some reason, I went to my bedroom. I always did all this kind of stuff in my living room. Obviously, that's where I had my whole shrine and, you know, all my stuff. And we had gotten rid of that, thankfully. But I just felt led to go in my bedroom for some reason. And it was the Lord. Like, the Lord is so sweet.
Yeah, he is.
But I felt led to go in there. It was the only carpeted, like, area in my house was my room. Mm-hmm. And that's important because when I walked in there and I just said, Jesus, I hit my knees so fast. Like, I lost strength. Like, I just hit my knees so fast. I was on my face and I was just... All I could say was, help me, please help me, please help me. Like, I was just crying out to him. And, you know, I had said the prayer in church, the sinner's prayer, the salvation prayer. I had said that prayer in church probably 15 times before this, raised my hand like 15 times before this, and it didn't save me. It never saved me. It wasn't religion that saved me. It wasn't the scripted prayer that saved me. It wasn't doing things right that saved me. And it wasn't doing things the way that society tells me I need to that saved me.
Yeah.
None of that did it. It was a desperation for his face.
Amen.
That's what saved me. It was the words, help me. That's all I said. I didn't say the scripted prayer. I said two words, help me.
Wow.
And I remember it, I probably said it for like 15 minutes straight. I was on, now I'm looking back at us. I'm like, I had the Holy Sways in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even know. I didn't even know.
You didn't know
what
they were.
I was on the floor and I just was like, help me, help me, help me. And I was just sobbing, just crying out to him. And after about 15 minutes, I just felt, it was like the hug I had been waiting for my whole life.
Wow.
Like the security and the safety and the love and the vulnerability and the abundance. And I felt like it was not going to ever leave me. It didn't feel fleeting. It felt like eternal. And I just remember feeling that. Like it was like I felt him over me, hugging me. And I remember that this was so transformative for me to hear him because I felt like I had never heard him before and I felt like he'd never heard me.
Wow.
But I heard him in that moment. And I don't want to say I audibly heard him, but man, it was so clear that it was almost audible.
Wow.
He and I saw a vision of this years after I was saved of like what actually was happening in the spirit is that I'm like re-seeing it right now. And it's just so beautiful. But I was nestled into him. And I actually want to read that scripture real quick if I can pull it up.
Yeah, of course.
I was nestled into him and I just saw him hugging me. And I saw Satan at the other side of the room. And I don't really know if it was Satan or demonic or whatever I was being oppressed with. But I saw Jesus look up at that thing and say, get behind me. She is mine.
Come on.
And I just, for another probably hour, I was just sitting in the floor and I just said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over again. And that's all I could say was thank you. And it was the moment that changed my life for the rest of my life. And I just think that when we get religion confused with relationship, we start to despise a God that we've never met.
Wow.
And that was my story. That was my story that I had grown up thinking that I knew who he was because I knew his people.
Wow.
Because I knew people who were flawed and who sin and who mess up. And I thought that was him. And I saw rules and regulations and I saw all of these certain things that just didn't feel or seem like me or something that I could attain or ever like level up to. And I said, I can't be that. And I can't do that. And if that's who God is, I don't want him.
Yeah, that's so good.
I don't want him. And it was in that day that he showed me relationship.
Wow.
It was in that day that he showed me salvation. And it wasn't because of anything that I did.
Yeah.
The Bible says that. It says you are saved by grace through faith alone, not in your works, lest you may boast.
Come on.
It was nothing that I did.
Come on.
I hadn't done a good thing in years.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's good. And I feel a lot of people too are saying that they have, and this is honestly speaking and ministering to me, of just saying like you have church hurt and all these different things. But at the end of the day, everything, I mean, every church, I mean, it was created, you know, by man. Like, I mean,
yeah.
So there's going to be people that hurt you, but you cannot let those people define the character of Jesus. You cannot allow people in the church or people who even claim, I mean, even Christians, even me, even you, we will hurt each other. That's the thing. We do edify one another out of more than the hurt, you know, but there's still times that we're going to hurt one another. And that's just us being sinful and that's us being flesh, but it's what we do after the hurt. And I believe a lot of us, and this is the Lord speaking through me out of vulnerability right now of like, spending months sitting in hurt and wallowing in hurt. It's what you do after the hurt. Hurt's gonna come. Hurt is gonna come. Sadness is gonna come. The word literally says when storms come, when wind blows.
When it does.
He didn't say if it does, when it does.
It says will be the weapons will form.
Come on. Come on. And it says that when they come, the house will not shake if it's built on the firm foundation.
Yes.
And I just believe a lot of us are hurt by the fact that, I don't know, situations or circumstances have come over our life. And like you said, it's like letting it define the Lord. But this life is a fallen world. It's going to happen. He said when it happens. The thing is, a lot of people like will ask, it's like saying like, oh, whenever the Lord freed you from anxiety and all this, like, how has life been? Like, does it get better? At the end of the day, sometimes it gets harder, but it's easier in a way because now I know who to run to.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Because that makes so much sense to me.
When you are truly seeking God, the enemy is working overtime because you, it's basically like you were on one team, but you said, I'm done being for this team. I'm switching to the next. And once you find the Lord, they have an assignment to come after you. And especially whenever you are doing kingdom moves, bringing people to the other side, you're snatching people from the enemy's claws, snatching people from the other side of the team. There's going to be people after you, and that's the enemy. So in those certain ways, I guess things could get harder situationally in the physical, but in the spiritual, I'm telling you, the Lord is honoring that. And we cannot allow just the circumstances that are coming over us in the physical. I feel the enemy, like, really, he did not want me to say that. Like, coming out, I really feel him trying to make me lose my train of thought on that. So whoever that is for, let that sit and let that truly sink in and give that to the Lord. Because if there's anyone dealing with bitterness, that is your circumstance and your situation does not define the character of God. Go to the Word.
Yes.
The enemy is trying to twist your mind. That's why you're feeling this oppression, is because of the Lord's anointing over your life, the calling over your life. And like I said, whenever you are in tune with the Spirit and following the Lord, the enemy's going to attack after you so hard.
That's truth. Yeah, that's truth. I wanted to read this. It's in the book of Song of Solomon. In some of your Bibles, it might be Song of Songs. But I want to read chapter 8, verse 5. This is probably my favorite verse in the Bible because it's so personal to me and that moment in my life. It says, who is that coming out from the wilderness leaning on her beloved?
Wow.
It is so impactful for me because I look at that moment and I was just nestled into him. And if you look at the original word in the original language for leaning, it's being nestled into. And that's exactly what it felt like. To come out of the wilderness leaning into him. Wow. That's exactly what it felt like. And I want to read the note because I think it'll speak to somebody. I want to read the note that I wrote on this. It says, what does the heart condition of a woman who is leaning on Yeshua look like? Wow. I wonder how much unwavering peace, how much trust and reverence, how much protection she feels, how much freedom. Imagine what it cost her to get there.
Wow.
The surrendering of control, the humility, the submission, the release of expectation. Are we willing to pay the cost to be in such a sacred place? Wow. The cost of release. And that's exactly what I had to go through is complete release.
I feel the anointing in that.
Me too.
I feel peace as you read that.
Because when I wrote that, I was genuinely seeking him in a way that I don't think I've ever sought him before. Because I had, and I still have. And y'all, I don't think it ever ends. I still have this such strong, like, insatiable desire to know who he is. I just want to know him.
It reminds me of Psalm 91, too, of resting under
under
the wing, under the shadow. Like, he's literally coming
under the shadow of the Almighty.
Yes, to have you under his wings. Can you bring that scripture as
let's
well?
Let's read it.
Psalm 91, because I never like quoting scripture if it's not exactly what the word says, because
this is what it says.
We're removing the power.
Psalm 91 says this, and this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. I'm actually speaking at a conference and I will be basing my whole message over this chapter. Mm. It's so good.
Praise God.
It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
Yeah.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence.
Yeah.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge.
Under
his faithfulness is a shield and a buckler."
Mm.
It says, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that weighs laced at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
Yes.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him, and I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation."
Yes, Jesus.
That is
that's exactly
the promise
what we're talking
of God.
About. This whole
this is my testimony.
Wow.
But that's here's the thing. It says, "He who dwells."
He who dwells.
Yeah. It does not say all will dwell.
Mm.
It says he who. This means we have a choice. This says we have a choice.
Wow.
"He who dwells in the shelter," and then it says, "will."
Wow.
This is a promise that all of these things will follow. You will, verse 1, have his protection.
Wow.
You will dwell in the shelter of the Most High. You will, number 2, have deliverance. In verse 3, he will deliver you from the snare.
Come on.
You will have his covering. Verse 4, he will cover you with his wings. You will have his courage.
Yeah.
Verse 5, you will not fear.
Yeah.
You will have his victory.
Yeah.
Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your right side and your right hand. It will not come near you.
Right.
You will have backup. Verse 11. "For he will command his angels concerning you."
Yes.
"You will have company." Mm. Verse 15, "When he calls to me, I will answer him and I will be with him."
Yeah.
"You will have fulfillment."
Wow.
Verse 16, "I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation."
It's so good.
These are all things that I search for in the new age. Protection, deliverance, covering, courage, victory, backup, company, fulfillment.
Come on.
It says, if you choose to abide with him,
come on,
you will receive all of these things.
And these are literally promises of the Lord.
That is a promise.
So they're never going to fail.
The word says his promises are yes and amen, and he reads them and straight up lists them for us to accept.
Many of us want to read the promises of God over our life, but we're not willing to read before what we have to do to fulfill those promises.
That's so good.
So he's saying we have to rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
We have to under his authority.
Exactly. But many of us want to speak these promises over our life. God said he's going to do this.
A word.
But you're not doing what he told you in the beginning of the
scripture.
You're
not submitting.
Come on.
You expect a promise.
Come on.
You expect you long for the hand of God and you neglect the face of God.
Come on.
Seriously.
Holy Spirit.
I think that we get so caught up in what he can offer us instead of getting so caught up in who he is.
Wow. Yeah. That's heavy. I mean, that's heavy even in a generation of social media of just posting I'm posting about Jesus. I'm going to get the likes. I'm going to get the number. But it's like, you don't even care about Jesus. You're just caring about the outside. Because a lot of times, though, like the Lord, he really uses anybody. I mean, he even used Judas in his life of, you know, serving him, whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
He still used him, and Judas still led people to Jesus, and even though he really wasn't, you know, walking in a line with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's even with your platform, God will sometimes, he can still use it. So just because videos are going
viral,
it
for good.
Come on, that's scripture.
Yep.
Genesis, what the enemy meant for evil, he'll turn for good. Something like that.
I think it's Genesis. Don't quote me.
I'm feeling Genesis 4, but I don't know. But it's just like, just because the videos are going viral doesn't mean that you're necessarily doing what you should do It actually just means that God can use anybody. So quit thinking that your numbers have something to affect with your walk with Jesus.
It ain't about you.
Come on.
It ain't about you. It ain't about what you can do. It ain't about what you've done or what you will do. It's about what he did and in the finished work on the cross.
I will continue to say, as soon as you think that anything that you have, any of the work that the Lord has done is because of you, he will remove his hand every single time.
That's so good.
I literally just saw that in my ministry. Yeah. And I see the Lord. I feel the Lord's hand back in this podcast, in my ministry. And I know everyone listening now has felt a shift.
Yes.
There's been a shift in the realm because of my submission. And it's not from what I did. It's because God pushed me to submission.
Yes. And he will.
I could not do it on my own.
You will obey him.
I know.
Straight up.
I know.
We don't get a choice. It's like when we have given our life to him, when we have been saved, which is secure, which is eternal.
Yeah.
There's no jeopardy in salvation. He gives it. And it's not because of us. But when we start to think, oh, well, then I will manipulate God and take the power of God and give myself power and authority and credit and all the things that are only for the Lord, he will take his hand off.
Amen. Every single time. So so you found the Lord. And as it goes on, I wanted to talk deeper on deliverance as a believer, because we've touched a little bit on this, because yes, the Lord saves you, and as a Christian, you cannot be possessed, but you can be oppressed through the actions and portals that you're doing / opening. So I wanted to touch a little bit on, because we both have similar stories, and this is why this duo right here is anointed, y'all. No, it really is. Like, this is crazy.
It's from the Holy Spirit.
It's from the Holy Spirit, and we take literally zero credit. But I wanted to ask you, and just give us a quick little story time of, like, kind of what happened and what that looked like and what Scripture says about Christians.
Yes.
Receiving deliverance.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Well, I mean, I think we both have beautiful stories of deliverance. And, you know, Carew's has been very recent. And that was so cool.
Was that yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday. It was so cool that I got to witness that. For me, the first time I ever got deliverance was self-deliverance.
Wow.
The Lord walked me through every bit of it. It was not anything that anybody... He is. I said, let me talk about how the name of Jesus threw demons out of my body. And Satan said, let me cut this camera off. Yeah, I bind it and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. But y'all, anyways, as she started trying to talk about the deliverance, the camera just cut off. So you got to see a little bit of that, but we're back in.
We're back at it.
Satan doesn't want y'all to hear this, so stay on.
Yeah, we bind it in the name of Jesus. So, it was something the Lord walked me through. It was not anybody else's doing. It was only of the Lord. Mm. And every deliverance, no matter what it looks like, is of the Father.
Also, let me pray against losing power real quick.
It is storming.
It's storming right now, y'all.
I don't know if you can hear it.
And if these lights aren't off, we cannot film this. So, Lord, we just pray over this now, Lord. Would you just give us power, Lord, for these lights to stay on, Lord, for this testimony to be carried out, Lord, through the screen, Lord, through our voices in Jesus' name. Yeah. We bind the enemy. We rebuke him in Jesus' name from this household. Would you put a hedge of protection? If everyone else's lights in this neighborhood go off, would you keep ours on? Because it's fueled by the Holy Spirit, Lord, fueled by you in Jesus' name.
You can do that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. So he had me write out a list of things that I had struggled with. Anxiety was number one on the list. Because even after I got saved, I still struggled with anxiety. Mm. I wrestled with that for a long time before he delivered me. And it was one of those things where I was like, is this just my thorn like Paul had? Like, am I just going to have this forever?
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I said, God, if this is what you have for me, that's okay.
Yeah.
And if you don't deliver me, I had prayed that the Lord would deliver me so many times and he didn't. Hmm. There's a really cool scripture we're going to talk about where he says, no, no, no. But then he does it because you're persistent. Hmm. It was so good. But yeah. And so I was like, okay with the thought of like, okay, Lord, if this is just going to keep me running to you, then that's, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
And I had asked so many times and he had denied me. And I said, okay, I accept it. Your will be done, God. Hmm. So I wrote down anxiety. I wrote down generational stuff.
Wow.
You know, I was, like I said, my grandmother was a white witch. Mm. And so I knew I had a generational curse through my bloodline of witchcraft.
Yeah.
So I wrote that. I wrote so many other things. I probably had a list of about 20 things that I wrote down. Mm. And the Lord walked me through exactly what I needed to do to be delivered in scripture.
Wow.
I didn't seek YouTube videos. I didn't go ask other people. I didn't get on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I went to the Bible.
Right.
And I didn't plan on talking about this, but
yeah.
It was so funny that before I made the list and I was reading, he gave me every single step, like I said, but I found it right before we started this.
Wow.
And I didn't know I even had it. Wow. So I want to read that real quick. So number one, obviously we know confess your sins so that you may be healed.
Yeah.
So I spent time in confession. I spent time just praying to the Lord saying, Father, like I have come into agreement with some of these things.
Yeah.
I call myself an anxious person. Yeah. I identify as anxious.
Wow.
I'm like my anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
I have anxiety.
Yeah.
I'm anxious. Mm. I'm like, forgive me for this. So I asked for forgiveness.
Yeah.
I confessed.
Right.
I asked for forgiveness. And I said, Lord, I repent and I will not do it anymore. I repent. I come against it. So the first thing is renouncing. This means to cast off. And this is Proverbs 28:13. It says, the one who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy.
Wow.
So when you renounce something, it's basically like breaking that contract in the spirit. When you come into agreement knowingly or unknowingly with a demonic spirit, you have signed your name on a contract spiritually.
And coming into agreement, for those of you guys who don't understand, like the best way I'd explain is your mind specifically, that's where the enemy attacks, is territory. So if you are continually going back to a habitual sin, or you are listening to an artist, you are actually coming into agreement. So by you choosing to play that music or by you choosing to watch that movie, you're coming into agreement and selling that territory to the enemy.
Yeah.
Not saying he's going to possess you, but you giving him legal rights to torment you there. That is why it's important to say, I denounce any legal rights that I've given to the enemy in Jesus' name. And I give him complete authority of my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit back to you in Jesus' name, from the head of my body to the toes, the soles of my feet in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's a really great explanation. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, instead, we have renounced secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of the truth. So second is, I needed to identify these spirits to cast out. Mark 5:9 says, and Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many.
Wow.
What authority to look a demon in the face and say, what's your name? Identify yourself. And then we see Jesus exercising this. In Mark 9:25, he says, and when Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit. He identified it. I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. He identified these spirits.
Wow.
And if he didn't know, as if he wasn't God, he did know. He was giving us direction. But, you know, if he wasn't saying, here is your name, come out of him, he said, what is your name? Okay, next is binding.
Yeah.
This means to take something captive.
Wow.
When I think about binding, I think about throwing chains around somebody and tying them up. Matthew 12:29 says, or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then indeed he may plunder his house.
Wow.
If you're going to take back territory, you can't do that unless you bind it. You can't.
Come on.
Because it'll overpower. You can't do it. You got to bind this thing up. That's what scripture says. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
Wow.
So then he said, and then you need to cast it out. This is Mark 16:16-18. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe.
Come on.
In my name, they will cast out demons.
And that's not just back in the Bible times.
Period.
This is present.
This is, if you are a child of God, people will see you casting out demons and know you are mine.
Yeah. Come on.
It says they will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands.
Come on.
And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them.
Come
they
on.
Will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Luke 10:17, the 72 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And then Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. And then last, John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater than those will he do, because I am going to the Father.
Wow.
What did he do? We see him. Y'all, this is why I tell Christians, stop being so intimidated by the devil and stop giving him power and saying that if I just ignore it or act like it's not real or don't identify it, then I'm, you know, safe. I'm protected. The thing that I hear Christians say all the time is, don't give the devil any glory. Stop giving him power. And it's like, it's not giving him power. Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose it. It takes his power. Let's not be so naive as Christians to think that if we hide in the dark without acknowledging him, that we're protected from it. It says, do as he did and even greater. And what did Jesus do? It says in the Bible that he made a public spectacle out of Satan. Wow. That's what it says he did. It says that he casted out demons. He drove them away. Even in front of crowds, he did this. And he commanded us, if you are a child of me, a sign of that will be that you will cast out demons. He said, you will trample on the scorpions and serpents. He said that you have all authority in the name of Jesus to drive out demons. It says the 72 returned to him with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to me in your name. I'm like, where are we getting this false narrative that we as Christians are weak in the spirit and that if we just ignore the enemy, he ain't real? That's giving spiritual immaturity.
Come on.
We can't do it.
Come on.
It's like, y'all, I just, and what I'm telling you is that this is what he taught me. I'm not saying that this is the rhetoric that I've picked up because of a denomination that I go to. That's not it.
That's not it.
Y'all, I don't get my authority from man. I get it from the word.
Come on.
And so it was so important that he taught me these things, because if he would not have, I probably would have done it in the way that I see popular mega churches do it. And a lot of that is unbiblical. Just going
to
be real.
It's for the live stream. It's for the video. It's for...
We got to be rooted in the word.
We got to.
We have to be operating in the fullness of scripture. We can't exempt any part of that. Okay, so I learned...
Wow.
And he gave me authority.
Yeah.
So I was sitting at my kitchen table and I went through these steps, and I started with anxiety. It was number one on the list. And I literally, when I said...
Our stories are so similar.
I know. They really are. I can't wait for you to tell your story. When I said, Lord, I confess, forgive me, I repent, I renounce and denounce, I bind and I cast out in the name of Jesus, spirit of anxiety, go, spirit of fear, go, spirit of panic, go, spirit of worry, go. I felt it. It's like the best I could describe it is like a ball of energy. I mean, it's a spirit, but in my, like in the depth of my stomach, like in a place that I ain't never felt before, in your core. And that's actually, there's a Hebrew word that describes this in the Bible. I felt it come up into my chest, into my throat, out of my mouth, and left me. And I felt it come out, and I just started sobbing because I was like, I just felt that. I felt the power of the Lord. I felt the authority in the name of Jesus. And since then, I haven't had one panic attack. Like, gone. Y'all, he delivered me.
He did.
Straight up delivered me. And there were so many more things that he delivered me from, but it's a testament.
While you were a Christian, and I just be thinking on this.
This is while I was a Christian, y'all, and I had been a on fire Christian for 3 years.
It's just crazy to me, because the thing, the number one thing that Satan is going to want us to think is, one, that he's not real, because it's like, obviously, for example, if you're playing against like,
or that Christians are invincible and he can't touch them,
right? If you're playing against a sports team, it's just like, the other team's not real. What? So you're just not going to do anything,
right? Doesn't that sound so stupid?
It's dumb. Yeah, the other team's fake. It's giving scared. Anyways, so he's going to make you think that, one, he's not real, and then honestly, I don't remember the next thought. But anyways.
That's a good analogy, because it's like, if you're going to look at the opposing team and be like, oh, they're not real, then you might as well start waving the red flag. If you, I mean, the white flag, if you're not going to fight, which means that you have dropped out of the game and they won.
Come on. Come on.
Period. My husband's standing over here. He's a coach. I hope you're proud, babe.
Hey, babe. Anyways, this is crazy, because our stories are so similar. And I believe the Lord walked us both through self-deliverance, because he knew at that time, if a man came over and prayed over us, then we would have almost given that man glory more than we gave the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Can I just say, like, Carew had this, that exact revelation during his deliverance. And while I was seeing him be delivered, I told my husband, I said, oh, Carew needs prayer. And I put down my bag, I put down my phone, and I was almost going to walk over there. And the Lord said, no.
Come on.
No. He was by himself. And I said, all right, Lord, hands off. And then I figured out later that the Lord had given you that revelation. You needed only me. It could not have been through anyone else.
So we were going, I was going into this weekend, honestly expectant, knowing that with the podcast coming in season two, that the Lord is going to do a lot of amazing things. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we went to church yesterday, and it's crazy you said the R's or whatever, because the night before I went, actually the morning before, I went through the four R's that Sergeant Ryder has, the repent.
Mm, yeah.
Nah, nah, nah. Honestly, I'm going to pull it up real quick, because I truly believe that set the scenery and set the tone for the deliverance.
Yeah.
So let me read this over you guys real quick, if I can even find it, because again, I believe this set the scenery and the tone.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, the four R's say, number one, repent of the sin. Call it what it is. It is your sin. Own it and confess it. Number two says receive. Receive God's forgiveness and cleansing. Just receive and thank God for doing what he promised, forgiving you. Number three, rebuke. The enemy's hold on you because of your sin.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, kick out the spirit behind the sin. Number four, replace all the lies with God's truth. State what you believe God and what he says. Declare new actions you are going to do that are the opposite of sin. So y'all, I literally walked really through that the morning before, and I believe that set the tone and that set the foundation for what the Lord was planning to do in my life. And it didn't feel like some crazy Sunday. It honestly just felt like a same old normal. I don't believe that morning. I don't think I got in my word. I think I might've actually got my word. But what I'm saying is, like, the Lord will meet you where you are, and he looks at the heart posture more than the action.
Yeah.
And going in that morning, my heart posture was really trying to empty out, and they had an altar call. And I went down, and it's crazy because we were all praying, and I felt the Lord telling me to get on my knees, and I was like, yes. I'm not getting on my knees. And I literally, as soon as I blinked my eyes, opened them back up, literally our whole friend group is literally, it was like a like spirit of like the swoosh,
the
like
wave, a just wave went over us.
Everyone was on their knees, and I just was like, wow, you're doing something. Yeah. So I just got on my knees so quick, and then it turned from my knees to my face. And then next thing I know, I'm getting prayed over. And I literally, the Lord starts walking me through, just like you, of what I need to be delivered from.
Yeah.
He starts bringing each and every single thing. And as the way that I did, it was the Lord identified those spirits.
Yes.
Because whenever I would say something, it would give like a little twitch. And I was like on my face flat. I could not move. As a Christian, you cannot be possessed, but you can be heavily oppressed.
Yes.
So as the Lord was showing me which spirits needed to be rebuked off of my life, it's the way that the oppression came here. You're oppressed here, but you're possessed inwardly.
Right. Yeah.
You're possessed inwardly.
That's so good.
And many times people are like literally like throwing up, foaming of the mouth. But for me,
it wasn't like that.
It wasn't like that
for me either.
It was on the back of like here. Like it was like
it was like on our friend Ashley Hetherington, if y'all a lot of you probably know her,
love her,
she's amazing, but she was saying, I was telling her about my deliverance experience and I was like, y'all, my shoulder was going nuts. I don't know why.
Hitting
it sounds
shoulder.
So it sounds so weird. I said, I don't know why. And Ashley goes, wait, well, I know.
Wow.
And I was like, well, sister, tell me, because I don't know, it didn't make no sense to me. And she goes, when you're oppressed, it's like there's something on you weighing on you, holding on to you, and when it's coming off, it doesn't want to let go of you.
Yeah.
But when you're possessed, this is a very like internal inside of you, you know. And so that was neither of our experiences were that we were like throwing up and screaming and whatever. However, we did read in Mark 5 that does happen.
It does happen.
That is biblical, but it wasn't our experience.
And for me, I literally was face flat down on the floor however long. I literally don't even know how long I was face flat on the floor, and the Lord just was leading me through what things needed to be, you know, off my life.
I
could not move. I felt like my hands were like crimped up. I genuinely was paralyzed. I could not move, but it wasn't a paralyzed of fear.
But like in the spirit, like the Holy Spirit had you.
I literally was sobbing from joy. I remember I was like, it's a lot going like in and out of consciousness, like in the spirit. Like if you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know, I'm genuinely sorry, because that was literally one of the purest and most amazing things that my Father's ever done in my life.
Yeah.
And I remember just like fading back in, and I just like looked at somebody. No, I looked at Allie and Ashley, and I was just like, I just got delivered. Here we go again. And I start sobbing, and like the Lord just like comes over me again. It was like insane. And for me, I grew up like Southern Baptist. So like I've always looked at that as like it being something fake.
Yeah,
and
can you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, I grew up just in an environment that I guess we did stand on the word, but so much on the word to where we felt like
You didn't allow the Holy Spirit to move.
We didn't allow the Holy Spirit to move. And there's a fine balance of that, of just being feelings-based, you know?
Yes.
Because a lot of us, it's either one way, on the word so hard and you don't have any joy with the Lord, you're not allowing the Spirit to move through you. Because what the scripture said that stuck out to me said, you will know my children, for they will do what the works that I do. Heal, yeah. Cast out demons, all these things. But a lot of the people on the Baptist, and I'm not just saying Baptist, other churches, but that's where I grew up, so I can speak for that. It was like that. But then you look on the other line of Pentecostal, of being more feelings-based. Mm. So there's like, there's a balance.
Yeah,
there's,
we had a really good conversation about this. And obviously, like, we can't generalize.
A denomination. Yeah.
Right. Like, we can't say, like, all Baptists quench the spirit. Yeah. All Pentecostals are disorderly.
And this isn't coming for a specific denomination. Yeah.
No, but so we got to be, that's why we keep emphasizing, we got to operate in the fullness
in
of
the
scripture.
Fullness. Because for me.
Meaning order and spirit. Right. Truth and spirit. That's what the Bible says.
Because people ask me what my denomination is. The word of God and Jesus Christ.
I'm a follower of Jesus.
I'm a follower of Jesus because I believe the enemy comes over. The reason that there's so many denominations in today's society is because whenever, for example, when we were talking about this, if the U.S. is wanting to, you know, coming in battle with another country or whatever, what are you going to do? Bring troops together.
Yes.
You have to bring troops together to defeat the enemy of the opposing side. But the way that Satan wants to do, he knows that if we're just by ourselves, if we're in isolation, we can't defeat him. We have to come together.
He wants to divide us on all these secondary issues and like make us go at war with each other. Yes. And it's like, nah, do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Do I love Jesus? Yeah. We're brother and sister.
And I believe, and I speak this now in Jesus' name, that unity over the church.
Yes.
Now in Jesus' name, over families, over the church in 2024 and then from the years to come.
Yes.
But I was just on my knees and the Lord just, I experienced him in a way I ever experienced, and he was truly shaking off change and shaking off things specifically for this podcast. I'm going to be so real. Mm-hmm. So if y'all could be praying about my ministry watching this, if you could be praying about what the Lord's wanting to do on this, because it's really been a journey of just, you know, back and forth of taking a month and a half off and whatever the Lord's wanting to do. So if you could be interceding for me, because just because I'm on social media does not mean that I don't have struggles, and it does not mean that there's times where, you know, I need prayer. I honestly feel like I need even more prayer, let's just be honest, and deliverance. And that's why I want to share my story, because I think we go online and we see these people, but we're putting them on like an idol standpoint. We're putting them, but it's I literally just received deliverance, and I'm just like, after we went to some restaurant, I was like, I just got delivered, like screaming it, because it was so holy. Like, and like walking out that place, like I could hardly even move, but they had a meeting.
We borderline carried Carew out of the building,
but praise God, because it was such a sweet moment with my father, and it
was
just
beautiful.
And I've been praying for the Lord. I said, God, there's stuff that there's so many people. I went to the Send in Nashville. I was like, these people have something that I've never experienced before. Can I experience this, Jesus?
That's
would you allow
so
me to experience
cool.
this? And
wait, I'm just remembering this. My husband's right in front of the camera. Do you remember when I said, I just want to see an encounter with the Lord?
Wow.
I just want to experience that. Mm. I said that on the way here. I drove when he was driving me here. I said, I just want to see the Lord encounter us.
Wow.
Like, and he did, and I told you, I said, Crew, I think you're going to be delivered this weekend.
You literally said
did.
That. Your discernment is literally always on key.
It's the Lord, man. He just tells his children what's up.
Always on key. So, yeah, I got delivered yesterday. So, praise God for that, y'all. honestly, I feel like I've been ripped out the plastic. I'm acting brand new.
I just think I want to read this scripture. Yeah. It's in Matthew 15. I'm going to read this little section starting in verse 21, and it says, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away. She's crying out after us.' And he answered, 'I was only sent to the lost sheep in the house of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's plate.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly."
Wow.
Here's what I take from this. When it says, when it's talking about the children's bread, it is talking about deliverance. She's saying, please deliver my daughter of this demon. Please deliver her of this oppression. Please deliver her of these symptoms of the demonic. And she was he said to her, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He was telling her, hey, I'm on a mission for the Jews. You're a Canaanite. This is not what I'm trying to do right now. But because she persisted, even after he said no, He looked at her and said, I won't.
Yeah.
He actually didn't even answer her when she asked at first. Yeah. She heard nothing. And she asked it again. Persistent. He said no. And she asked again.
That's literally.
He said, be it to you as you desire. Your faith has made her well. And she was delivered. The deliverance is the children's bread.
Come on.
Deliverance is for the child of the Lord.
And I think as believers too, because I know there's probably people watching this thinking like, oh, well, like, you're probably a false prophet. You're demonic or whatever, like, for sharing my story. But the thing is, we need to quit, you know, normalizing, you know, gossip and normalizing lust and all
these.
And we need to start identifying them with the spirit they're attached to.
Yes.
So if you're naturally, and I feel there's somebody on here naturally gossiping, that's a spirit. You need deliverance.
That's a spirit.
You need deliverance. So do not let anybody... Don't feel holier than thou, because I'm really coming and I'm trusting you with my story. I'm really coming to you humbly. But I tell you now to say this, you need to start identifying these sinful things and everything with a spirit.
Yeah.
The spirit of lust, it connects to Jezebel, Delilah, all these different things. So it's like,
go ahead.
You have to identify the spirit before you can receive deliverance and before it can be casted out.
That's truth. That's truth, and it's biblical. Yeah. And so I think that it was a beautiful example of both of us had gone to the Lord before and been like, Lord, please deliver me. Please deliver me. Please deliver me. He said, nope. Yeah, and we kept seeking. And he said, be it as you desire. Your faith has made you well.
I'm telling y'all, it's the heart posture of truly, it's called like prostrating. Like of being
I don't know nothing about that.
Being face flat on the ground of like complete surrender. And I believe if I did not get on the ground like that, I would not have received the deliverance. Yeah. So it's all about the posture of the heart. And it's not from something that I did, but it's
the act that right of humility. Here. She came and knelt before
Come
him.
Come on. Come on.
It's so that posture.
If any of you guys are experiencing these things, truly it's your heart posture to just give it to the Lord. You don't need to go to some crazy mega church for them to film a deliverance such over. You do not need that. You just need Jesus and the word of God and for your heart to be at a posture of surrender. For me, I kept going and I would like watch a video. I'm like, God, I do need to be delivered from this because I keep going back to it. But my hands and my heart was not willing to let go and to release it.
Surrender,
And finally, this Sunday, I was willing to surrender and praise God. And again, through the deliverance, we need to be careful because in Matthew, check me on the scripture. It talks about, can we pull up that scripture actually?
Which one are you talking
about? About the demon leaving and going into the desert to come back to find the house.
Matthew 12.
In Matthew 12, it talks about deliverance. And it talks about whenever you are delivered, you have to fill yourself. Be careful not to go back into the same thing. So that shows that it can be a believer, you know, receiving deliverance.
So Matthew 12, starting in 43, I'll read. It says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but it finds none.
Wow.
Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order.
Yeah.
Then it goes and brings back with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the person was worse than the first.
Wow.
This is saying... you have to have the Holy Spirit if you are going to go through deliverance.
Wow.
Because if you do not, so I have, you know, experienced where I'll see people where I'm like, gosh, I know they're oppressed. I know that they're possessed. I know that they don't have the Holy Spirit because they are showing the lack of the fruit. They're rejecting him. Yeah. They're saying, that's not for me, whatever. But I see them operating in oppression. Yeah. And I just wish, I'm like, man, Lord, set him free. Set them free.
Yeah.
But if I were to then go and operate in deliverance and cast these demons out of this person, I would be leaving them absolutely defenseless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in that place. Yeah. It says empty.
Yeah.
The house is empty.
Right. So after that of receiving the deliverance, inviting the spirit, but not only inviting, because we do a lot of inviting, but we don't do a lot of acting. So inviting and then submit to the Lord and walk in his plan and in
we
his
do a
will.
Lot of inviting and we don't do a lot of dwelling.
There we go. There
That's
we go.
Good.
That's everything.
So y'all, I think what we're saying here is that if you have a lack of knowledge, the Bible says you will perish.
That's good.
That's what it says. My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm.
So being naive to things, being unaware of things, or even being aware but dismissive to things, as if scripture is not operated in fullness, as if God is not the same God yesterday, today, and forever, it will cause you to be put in danger, yeah. and in situations where you're defenseless because you don't know how to use the weapons that he's given you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just think that this was an amazing episode for those yes. who maybe don't know to start tangibly yeah. applying the word of God to their life.
Yes.
That's what it's for.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's like, God, I wish you would have given me a manual. And I'm like, sister,
it's right here.
Pick it up.
There we go.
You know,
100%. And I feel the Spirit telling us we just need to pray over everybody listening to this episode right now.
Yes.
But before I pray, I just wanted to let y'all know, next episode, we're going to be talking about a lot of hot takes. That
controversial topics that the New Age has perverted Christians and deceived them into believing are innocent and they are absolutely demonic.
I mean we're going there. We're talking
go
about
there.
Starbucks, Halloween,
Enneagram. We're gonna just go there.
We're going there in the next episode. So stay tuned on that. But we're finna crack open a prayer. I just wanted to say that because for some reason I feel like when I say prayer, people are gonna want to leave. But I demand you now in Jesus' name to stay on here because God is trying to speak to you.
Yeah.
Anyways, Lord, thank you so much for this episode.
Yeah.
God, thank you so much for my friend on the other side of the screen. Lord, I pray now. Yes. Lord, I pray now, Lord, that your Spirit would come over them.
Mm.
God, that they would experience you in a way that they have never experienced you before, Jesus. Mm. God, I pray that you would deliver them from the evil one. We pray now, Lord, that you would deliver them from whatever the enemy has tried to bring over them, Lord.
Yeah.
The anxiety, Lord. Lord, the family issues, the relationship issues, Lord. The sickness, Lord. The things, Lord, of their health, Lord. We rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
God, we just ask, Lord, for your Spirit to just come over them and break them down now in Jesus' name. Lord, would you melt, Lord, the heart of stone and create a heart of flesh, Lord, for your seed to be planted, Lord. God, for your seed to be planted, and I walk in faith, I know the seed will be planted, but will it continue to be watered, Lord? Would you press on their heart, Lord, for a fresh desire, Lord, to want to be in your scripture? Lord, would you send your fire now to them, Jesus, Lord, for them to want to get up and read their word now, Lord? Because I feel a lot of people are coming to social media or coming to the podcast, Lord, thinking that this is the bread. This is just the appetizer. Jesus, you're the full meal.
Yeah.
God, would you give them a fresh craving for the full meal?
Yes.
And once they eat that meal, Lord, would they never thirst and never hunger for anything else in Jesus' name? Give them the fire and the desire, because a lot of us lack that desire, Lord. I feel the enemy putting that over us, Lord. We rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
God, we rebuke any fear, Lord, in Jesus' name, of the enemy, any fear of man in Jesus' name, Lord, of anything of Ashley's story that she shared that the enemy's going to try to use for fear. Lord, your word literally says those who dwell in their shelter, Lord. So I pray that they would go and dwell in the shelter of you, Lord. You protect us from everything, God. You deliver us from everything. It's what your promises say, but we must dwell with you in Jesus' name, God. I pray over their heart, Lord. Your word says, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, your word literally says that you sit at the door and knock, Lord, that you have to confess with your mouth and you will be saved. I know there's somebody listening, Lord, that has never done that, Jesus. God, would you convict their heart now of their sin?
Yeah.
Lord, that they would come to you, confess, that they would repent, Lord, and receive you, Lord.
Yes.
Receive you as Lord of their life, Lord. That they would say, Lord, I believe in you. Go ahead and say, Lord, I believe in you. And say, Jesus, I receive you in my heart in Jesus' name, because I know you're saying it right now. Say, I receive you now in Jesus' name.
Mm.
And not only do you have to believe in him, but it's time to make him Lord of your thoughts, your heart, your eyes, your body, everything that you're doing. And I pray now a blessing over you, that you would walk into submission, obedience with the Spirit, and congratulations that you just found the Lord, because all of heaven is rejoicing and I'm rejoicing with you now in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Friend, I love you so much. Jesus is so proud of you. He literally loves you so much. You could never even fathom.
Yeah.
Lord, I just ask, Lord, that your Spirit would just protect them, Lord, guide them in Jesus' name. God, we love you so much, Lord.
Father, amen. I just pray for the person on the other side of the screen who feels hopeless.
Mm.
God, I pray that you would show them that you are the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
God, for the one on the other side of the screen who believes or has been conformed to believe that you don't operate in the same things that you once did, I pray that you would break that yoke.
Mm.
God, you say that your burden is easy and your yoke is light. So I pray that we pick up a new yoke, God. I pray that there would be a fresh oil that would fall on the ears and eyes that were listening and seeing, a heart that was softened to receive. God, I pray that a new oil would fall on those people, God, that the Holy Spirit would indwell there and give them the fullness of understanding, of knowledge and wisdom, God.
Yes.
I pray right now for anybody who feels condemned.
Wow.
For anybody who feels church hurt,
yes.
For anyone who feels put out of the kingdom of God, I just want to recite to you that Romans 3:23 says for all have sinned,
yeah,
and fall short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
The word says that it is by grace,
yes,
through faith,
yes,
that we have been saved,
right,
not on works of your own that
come
you
on.
May boast. It's not because of anything that we do, God. It's not because of anything that we have done, anything that we will do. But God, it is because of the finished work on the cross and the things that you did for us.
Yes.
God, you took our place. When we deserved the death that you received, you said, because I love them, it is worth it.
Mm.
I will take this cup.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for it, God. I just pray that they would know that it is your will for all to be saved. That is what your word says. You came for all.
Yes.
And not all will choose and not all will accept, God, but some will. And I believe that those people are watching right now.
Yes.
So, Lord, we just thank you for salvation. God, your word says today is the day of salvation, Father.
Mm.
I pray right now over anybody that has been experiencing demonic torment in their sleep. It says that you will not fear the terror of the night. You will not fear the pestilence that stalks in the darkness in Psalm 91. God, I just pray protection over them now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray peace that surpasses all understanding over them in the name of Jesus. And I just pray that you would elaborate in their mind on what it means to be free,
yes,
and to find that freedom,
yes,
and who they need to seek in order to obtain that freedom. Father, we love you.
Mm.
We seal it. All of it, every word, God, in the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb, we give it all to you, God. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen, friend. And that's on the Holy Spirit, y'all.
That's on being covered, y'all.
We're going to see you in the next episode, and we are so excited because we're going to get down to it.
We're getting to the great. I love you guys. See y'all. See ya.
I mean, like Vine went away and then it was TikTok. So
this is gonna be a fire behind the scenes.
This is kind of good.
This is gonna be a fire behind the scenes clip.
This is actually good.
So let me talk about how the name of Jesus and Satan said, let me cut this camera off. Well, what's the problem? I honestly think that just turned off for no reason.
I don't trust the fart.
Dude, that food jacks.
If you have to fart, goes in.
I don't feel better.
En espíritu de Dios está en este lugar.
What did you say?
In the spirit of God is in this place.
Aww.
Are
you centered, Karu?
Like, yeah. Why? I mean, it's not going to be perfect because it doesn't exist, but also, like, as good as we can get it.
Y'all, I need a shower tonight.
Karu, can you go sit over there? Why?
Do I stink too bad? I stink. Okay, can you go sit over there?
Oh my gosh, it's my husband. That scared me to death.
She's mad.
Something's growling.
I didn't.
And that's on the Holy Spirit.